This morning I want to touch on a subject that a little touchy, I guess. But I want us to think about it and consider where we really stand. Have you ever been in a line of people, a crowd of people that's all moving in one direction? And maybe at the entrance or exit to some big event, a football game or amusement park or whatever it might be, and everybody's moving in the same direction, and then you notice that there are some people that are trying to push past everybody, and they're trying to move faster and pushing people out of the way and things like that. And then invariably, there'll be somebody, maybe you're trying to get into a game and they left their ticket in the car and they got up to the gate and realized they didn't have their ticket. So they're trying to go back the other way. While everybody else is trying to get in, they're going the opposite direction. And what a struggle that is. Because the crowd just keeps kind of pushing them along and they're trying to go the other way. I want us to remember that picture, and maybe you've even been in that situation where you were the one trying to go against the flow of the crowd. And what a struggle that was. And as we picture that in our minds, then I want us to think about that in a spiritual sense. As Christians, there is a world full of people going down the road to hell. And some are pushing faster than others. They're rushing. They're running, trying to get there as fast as they can. Others are kind of walking along at a slow, easy pace. But then there are some who are trying to go back the other direction, trying to get away from that and going against the crowd. And that's who we need to be. We need to be those that are going against the flow that's leading people to destruction. And as we think about that, I want us to think about it in these terms. God wants rebels. I want us to think about that for a minute. God wants rebels. Now, I know we usually think of rebels as being a bad thing. We think, well, those are people that are trying to cause harm and they're fighting and they're going against governments and they're doing all these things they shouldn't do. And I know even in the Bible, we read about the children of Israel, and he talks about them being a rebellious and stiff-necked people. And Moses called the children of Israel rebels at one point, and that wasn't a compliment. But as we think about the scripture that was read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, I want us to notice this verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In verse 3, Paul had just talked about the fact that the gospel is hidden to those who are lost. And then this is the description of those who are lost. Those who have been blinded by the God of this world. Now I want to ask you a question, and don't answer it too quickly. Who is God in this world? Don't jump to say, well, of course God's God. But He's not the God in this world. The devil is the God in this world. And that's who Paul is talking about. The God of this world. The devil has blinded the vast majority of people. Remember, Jesus said that the way to destruction is broad and wide, and there are many going that way, and there are only a few that are finding the way that leads to life. The ruler of this world is the devil. God wants us to be rebels. He wants us to rebel against that ruler. You remember when Jesus was being tempted by Satan? Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give all of these to you. How could the devil offer him that? Easy. They were all his to give. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he basically said, they're all under my power, and I can give them to you. Jesus didn't argue the point with him. Jesus didn't say, you can't give them to me. They belong to my heavenly Father. Jesus didn't argue it. He accepted the premise that, yes, the devil was in power over all of those kingdoms that he was seeing. And if we look at a world map today, it doesn't matter what country you look at, the devil's in power over those countries. Oh, even here in the United States, where we're supposedly a Christian nation, the devil's in power. The devil is leading people. Maybe we're not the ones that are rushing as quickly. Well, some are. But the United States is headed down that same path just along with everybody else in the world. But as Christians, we are to be separate from that. And we've got to rebel against that. I want us to notice 8 things quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each one, just mentioning them. God wants rebels who, first of all, refuse to follow the worldly crowd. You know, sometimes we see people who are so unusual that they stand out. And we think, well, look, there's somebody with spiked pink hair and tattoos everywhere and piercings all over their face and all these kind of, and we say, well, there's somebody who's a real rebel. No, not really. They're just one of the ones that's rushing faster toward the gate. They're not really rebelling against the devil. They're doing what he wants them to do. They're not real rebels. The worldly crowd is pushing in that direction. They're just out in front of the crowd. They're moving faster than the rest of the crowd. But God calls us to be different. We need to refuse to follow the worldly crowd. In 1 Peter 4:4 and 5, Peter writes, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, and they speak evil of you. Why would they speak evil of people who aren't doing bad things? Here are people who are running to a riot. They are excessively riotous people. And they speak evil of those who aren't going with them to do those things. Why on earth would they do that? Because they recognize those people are rebellious. They're not following the same master. And they recognize that. They want everyone doing what they do. But Peter says they'll give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. We need to realize that we are, as Titus 2:14 says, we are redeemed to be a peculiar people. Now, I know the term peculiar in the King James Version just really means that it's a special people chosen by God. But I think it's interesting that that word is used because, let's face it, if we're following Christ when the rest of the world is following Satan, we're going to be odd. We're going to be peculiar. You know, we've often say things like, well, you know, you can't tell a Christian by looking at them. It's going to get to the point before long where you can, because Christians will be the only ones that are dressed modestly. Everybody else will be half undressed. And you go, well, I wonder if that person's a Christian. They got clothes on. How unusual that is. They'll be the only ones that are sober. They'll be the only ones that are married or else that aren't sleeping around. We're already getting to that point just about, aren't we? See, we've got to understand, the worldly crowd is pushing in the wrong direction. And if we're just dragging along with them a few steps behind, that's not what a rebel does. A rebel fights against that and goes the other direction. I'm not suggesting that we all become Amish and give up cars and electricity. We've got to learn the difference between things that are sinful and worldly from that standpoint and things that aren't. But we need to be pushing back against those things. Because if we're not fighting the current, then we're going to be pushed down. You ever been out in a creek or river with a canoe or a raft or any kind of boat? If you're not constantly trying to go upstream, you're going to go downstream. And you got to go two or three times as hard to go upstream as you would to go upstream. It takes a lot more work and a lot more energy. That's what God calls to do. He calls on us to rebel against the currents of this world that are pushing us in the wrong direction. And to fight that and go the other way. And it's not easy. You see, we cannot just lollygag along and expect that we're going to wind up upstream somewhere. It doesn't work that way. If we want to go upstream, we've got to work it to get up there. We've got to refuse to follow the worldly crowd and fight against that. God wants rebels who refuse to follow the religious crowd. You know, we might think, well, and we hear it all the time, well, as long as you believe, or as long as you're a Christian, I don't care what denomination you're in. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what God says? In Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 6, Paul makes it clear there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, one faith. Not everybody's got their own faith, but one faith. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He says there's only one of these different things. So we can't all have a different one. My Jesus can't be different than your Jesus. My God can't be different than your God. And my expectations of me as to how I'm to live and how I'm to worship can't be different from yours if we've got the same one God. My faith can't have me doing this over here while your faith says that's wrong and I'm going to do this over here. And mine says, no, that's wrong. If we have one faith, it's going to be the same faith. But the religious world has accepted as a premise that we can disagree and believe different things and all get to heaven on different roads. That's the depth of doctrine. The devil wants us to get on all kinds of different roads, but he doesn't want us on this one true path that leads to heaven. We need to be refusing to follow the religious crowd. They continue to put in the wrong direction. It's a sad thing. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. See, these are people that thought they were Christians, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. What Jesus tells us there is that even among those who call themselves Christians, many are not. We need to fight against that and refuse to follow the religious crowd. But then third, God wants rebels who will fight to the death against the God of this world. We've got to realize what's at stake. We've got to realize that life is of less value than spirit. In other words, physical things are of less value than spiritual things. And if we have to sacrifice our lives, our physical lives, to gain spiritual life, then so be it. That's a sacrifice worth making. Now, when we say willing to fight to the death, that doesn't mean that we're going to take up guns and knives and bombs and go killing other people. Because the way we fight to the death is to our death, not to other people's death. We want to save them. We want to bring them away from Satan, not send them to him. If we were to destroy physical life of those who are spiritually lost, well, what good would that accomplish for our cause? That's not going to be helpful at all. We wouldn't want to do that. But we've got to be willing to fight against the God of this world to our death. Ephesians 2:2, Paul says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." He said, you used to be one of them. You used to walk like they walk. You used to be submissive to the prince of the power of the air. That's another terminology for the God of this world that's Satan. He uses that term, the prince of the power of the air. He said, that's what's working in the children who are disobedient to our Heavenly Father. And it's working. Ephesians 6:12, he again says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." See, this is the mistake that a lot of people try to make. They become physically, militarily potent against other people. But Paul tells us, we're not fighting. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Going out there and hurting someone is not going to do any good. Even if it's someone who's wicked. You know, recently they convicted someone of bombing an abortion doctor, shooting an abortion doctor, I get it, and killing him. And of course there's been cases of them bombing abortion clinics and things like that. And these people don't understand. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not out there to try to destroy more life. We're to try to save life. We are wrestling, he says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, we've got a spiritual battle on our hands, not a physical battle. That's the mistake that occurs when rebels think that by taking up arms, they're going to win a victory. No. If we get to the point where we're taking up arms to try to spread Christianity, then we've just fallen for another one of the devil's tricks. If you notice in the first century and in the early centuries, the Christians, they laid down their lives. They didn't lay down other people's lives. But we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to fight against the spiritual wickedness. It's a spiritual battle. And we can't win it with physical weapons. We've got to use spiritual weapons. Weapons that can attack and destroy the spiritual wickedness without harming the individuals that are being destroyed by it. Then the fourth thing we want to notice is that God wants rebels who reject sinful societal norms. We talked a little bit about this. You know, we live in a society where anything goes. And it's just accepted that if the government makes it legal, then it must be okay. And that is not what God teaches us. Notice what Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 says. They brought Peter and the other apostles before them, and they said, Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Let me tell you something. I know a lot who profess to be Christians who, if the government said, you know what? You know, we don't want you to talk about him anymore. They'd say, oh, okay. Well, since you said so, and I mean, you know, you're the government and I got to do what you say, so I won't talk about him anymore. And that may be some of us. But that's not what Peter and the apostles said. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. But too often, we allow limitations and limitations and limitations on whether we can do what God tells us to do or not. I was talking, Don saw a note, somebody who was on one of the she was a military mom. her child is involved in the war, and she had they have this thing where they post little things or whatever, and she had posted some Bible verses on there. And the leader of the group said, "Oh no, we can't have that. You can't put that up there." That would have been very easy for her to say, "Well, you know, okay, it's their group, and it, you know, that's right. Well, I won't put the Bible verses up there anymore." But she didn't. She said, "You know what? Either you let me put Bible verses up there." She wasn't, you know, she wasn't preaching. She was just putting a Bible verse up. She said, "Either you let me post what I want to post, or I don't want to be a part of your group." And guess what? The leader of the group came back and said, "Well, I'm sorry, somebody got a little overexcited about it, and you can post that stuff if you want to." And we gotta realize when it's time to stand up for what's right and not allow ourselves to just be pushed. I mean, you talk about, I believe it was the Marines. The Marines, whose motto, well, of course the motto is Semper Fidelis, but the, one of their things is God, country. Wait, God's first, and yet here's a mom of somebody in the Marines who can't put a Bible verse up on their little website? What's wrong here? See, that's how far away we've gotten. Here's a group that they say God's first, but then when somebody actually quotes God, they don't want to have anything to do with it. But that's where our country is headed. That's why we cannot allow ourselves to be swept up in these sinful societal norms. Our society is going to, "Well, you know, it's okay. You have your religion. Just keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear about it." Now, individually, if somebody doesn't want to hear about the Bible, fine. I'll leave you alone. I'll go find somebody who does. But for society to say, "You can't tell anybody else." Well, wait a minute. What if there's somebody over here that wants to know? Oh, no, no. We're getting to the point where we're going to have less freedom of religious expression than they have in China or Russia. This is supposed to be the land of the free. We better rebel against the direction that this societal norm is taking us while we still can. Paul was an expert at knowing what his legal rights were and standing up for him. Went, "Is it lawful for you to beat a Roman when he hadn't been condemned in court?" He knew when to stand up. "I appeal to Caesar." He knew what his rights were. We need to learn what our rights are. Because if we don't know what they are, we won't notice when they're taken away. But we need to rebel against some of the societal norms. You know, the old saying, you can't talk about religion or politics. Well, that's been around for years. Don't discuss religion or politics. We better discuss religion. We better not adhere to that societal norm. And then, of course, the other societal norms that are even get so out of hand, the sinful behaviors. Drunkenness is okay. Homosexuality is okay. Shacking up at left and right is okay. Sleeping around is okay. Everything's okay except doing what's right. Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good, who trade light for darkness. That's the world we're living in. The person who stands up for what's right is some sort of horrible individual. They're a hate monger. They're a bigot. They're narrow-minded and judgmental and on the whole while that person's judging them for being that way, when they're just trying to do what's right. Fifth thing God wants is rebels who won't compromise with the enemies of the cross. There again, Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. We cannot allow ourselves to go down that road. No compromise. We must obey God rather than men. Then God wants rebels who will persuade others to follow their cause. You know, if as a group all the rebels get killed off, then there's not much of a rebel cause anymore, is there? We've got to be doing things to bring others to Christ, to help those who have been blinded by the God of this world to see the light of the gospel. We've got to do everything in our power to help that become possible. The seventh thing we want to notice is that God wants rebels who will sacrifice anything for their cause. Acts chapter 4 and verses 18 through 21, they were punished and punished and warned and commanded, don't talk about this, don't do this. They didn't care. They rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for His name. They rejoiced when they suffered for Him. And we need to have that kind of an attitude as well. And then finally, God wants rebels who won't sell out for any price. Rebels who will commit to that cause without regard to the financial cost of it. You know, some rebel causes are led by people who are making money off of the rebel cause, and they themselves aren't getting involved. They're just leading others to the slaughter. But they themselves are just sitting back waiting and watching it. But Christianity is not that way. We've all got to commit. Jesus first committed Himself. He gave up everything to come and live on earth. He was in heaven already, and He gave that up to come be here and to die. Owned nothing but the clothes on His back while He lived here. And then we're going to fuss and complain that, well, it's just too much. It just costs too much to it's too much of a sacrifice. I can't do that. Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you trading for your soul? A few dollars? A little bit nicer car? Some clothes? Nice hair and nails? Cable TV. Then go on down the list. What are you trading? What is it that you're selling out for? What is it that you're giving up the commitment to the cause of Christ because it would be too much of a sacrifice? It would be too much. If you're here this morning, you have a need to respond to the invitation. It may be that you're not a Christian. You're not the rebel that you ought to be. You're following the God of this world as He's sweeping the crowd along toward destruction. Don't follow Him anymore. Repent. That means turn around. You're going toward destruction. Turn around and go the other way. Repent of that and turn to God and follow Him. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to confess Him as the Son of God, being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, and then to follow Him on the rest of the way. Put the devil in your rearview mirrors. Don't follow him anymore. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been rebelling like you should, you've been, well, I'm a Christian, but I want to keep dabbling in the world over here. One foot in and one foot out, like the Hokey Pokey song. Can't do that. You're either all in or you're not in at all. God doesn't accept halfway. You know, in real rebel, physical fighting rebel groups, you know what happens if they find out you're kind of half in and half out? That's the end of you. God doesn't accept that either. We can't go halfway. We're either in or we're out. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.